I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Guidance is internal. Ignition sequence starts. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Permission to board, please.
Permission to come aboard.
Permission to board.
Permission to board.
Do I have some permission to board that sweet mothership?
This is the Permission Granted Podcast. Here's DA.
Welcome inside the Permission Granted Podcast, everybody. DA with you. This is the show within the show about the show. Available on iTunes at Permission Granted Podcast. Also available on iTunes in the normal DA show podcast feed. Mraz joins me now. A few housekeeping items. Number one. Last week, side B of this bad boy, you telling Berman he was the poop of the punch bowl at the party was fantastic. He was audibly rattled. You could hear it. You could hear it. He was rattled around here in the newsroom. He was asking everybody about it. He wanted to prove his innocence. That was amazing.
Yeah, I'm glad you enjoyed it. What the best part about that was everything you heard on side B, you're hearing in a taped podcast form, was really live when it was happening. Berman had no idea what we were going to talk about and what we were going into, and he had only seen the headline of the previous PGP where he knew there was a creep at the party, and he had mentioned that he thought about who could be the creep at the party, not knowing it was him, and the looks on his face, the tension, and he still isn't letting it go. In fact, rounding up anybody who was at the party to possibly tweet at both of us to try to proclaim his innocence. This is, we're going to have to hear a lot of things at the advisory board here.
So this is pretty amazing because you have the original, this is a four-part saga. You have, 4 weeks ago, we did a preview of the Birth DA podcast.
Right.
That involved who's going to come, Berman's going to come, all that stuff. Then the aftermath of it, that was 2 weeks ago. And declaring that Berman rubbed a couple of patrons the wrong way because he was drunkenly taking photos of people when they were enjoying cocktails.
Yeah.
They didn't know him. Then you have
Berman.
Last week, you approaching him about being the quote-unquote creeper, and now us discussing his reaction to it. So this is
like the OJ doc.
Yeah, this is exactly... Yeah, exactly. And, you know, at first he fought it tooth and nail, didn't want to be the perv. You kept calling him the perv. It wasn't pervy. I never said it was pervy.
I agree that you never said it was pervy. I was doing my job to really rattle him more and let him know he was a perv.
You were stoking the flames.
You have to.
It wasn't about perviness. It was simply there were people that didn't know who he was, and he was taking photos of other people when they were drunk.
Yes.
And that's always uncomfortable because people go, well, where's this going to end up? And here's the thing. At first, he fought it. I'm not a perv. I don't want to be the perv.
He was Palmero in court, just waving his finger.
Wagging his finger. He has since softened the stance because he's now realized that the concern is not perviness. The concern was you were taking photos of people that didn't know you. And he can't deny that because he even showed us pictures.
You know what's funny about that? It's almost as if he was a criminal arrested for something, right? And you come in and he's got his lawyer with him and he's trying to fight tooth and nail. And we do the job of the whole pervy thing. We get that in his mind. All he wants is that cleared. So now he's been cleared of murder, but he'll take the manslaughter charges.
Yeah, and I think there was no intention of him to be pervy. I really don't.
I don't think there's a pervy bone in his body.
That's not his bit. But his bit has always been... When you're in a compromised situation, drunk, looking sloppy, shirt off, looking rumpled, whatever, he wants to take a photo of that to basically make fun of you, to text you that photo every so often.
Right. Or here's the problem. It's not just text. You know, if you're arguing with somebody over Twitter and he thinks it's funny, even if it's in-house between people you know, all of a sudden he'll get involved and just tweet a picture of one of the culprits, whether it be me or whoever else. and he just has those things sitting there, like almost like your hotkeys of drops you play on the show.
Yes.
His pictures are his drops. Yes. He drops in.
Yes. And so that's what people were a little concerned about. So he can't really fight that because he's like, I didn't take any pervy pictures. And I said, I never said, nobody called you a perv. So he sent us all the pictures. But here's the thing. None of them were pervy, but there was a lot of pictures of us drunk.
Right.
And nobody likes that existing either.
I agree, because when you're drunk and you're hanging out with friends, and you know, let's not try to be all hoity-toity here. Okay, we're very professional sometimes in the air. The weekend comes, we're going to get turned up a little bit. You know what
sure.
I mean? You don't want everybody seeing you that way. You only want your inner circle seeing you that way. And the problem with Berman is even if he thinks somebody's comfortable with that, in this day and age of pictures, you never know who's in the background of these pictures that then they zoom in,
yeah.
and then there's this person acting like
yep.
an idiot, too. He might say, I don't have pictures of all these people. Well, how many people are in the background of this? You zoom in, you make something of it.
And he might not have intended to use these photos against people he didn't know.
Right.
But if he's out there taking pictures of me or people that he does know, me, Berman, Ward, whatever... me, Brock, Ward, whoever it was, and then there's somebody else next to them, or they're just seeing Berman take those photos. They're like, hey, is he taking photos of me too when I'm not looking?
And it's going to make people feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I
he
totally
needs to
agree.
Quit that. That's just a bad look, because then it seems like he's out to get other people.
Well, I would say this. We sat in this.
It's bad behavior.
We sat in the studio, what, 2-3 weeks ago, and we discussed this about before Berman even knew he was the creep. And we discussed how to go about it. Would he be invited to the next birthday? You don't want to exclude him. I think that PGP 3 weeks ago into his intervention last week, I think was the best thing that happened to Berman because I think he will recess a little on the pictures. I think it is so ingrained in the back of his mind that he was basically called a perv and then taken perv off the record that I don't think he wants to make that mistake again. I think the PGP may have saved Jay Berman and made him a better person.
I hope so. Because as I said...
I guess you're not buying.
Well, I hope so, because as I said, I like having Berman around at the party. I just don't want other people feeling uncomfortable.
But now that he's aware of it, if you catch him in a situation, whether it be at a party or I'm going to Tampa with him, because now he's apparently hooked on with my friends to my annual Giant trip, which who needs that? If he does that, all you have to simply do is turn to him and go... Remember what we discussed about in the PGP? Almost like a dog that you put the newspaper in his face. Remember we did this? You don't pee pee in the rug anymore.
Yeah.
You got to tell Berman. I think if you tell him, it's almost like that flash of light will go off in his head. Okay, all right, I'll stop.
All right, okay. So that's the first.
You would hope, if he's human.
You would hope, yeah. You would hope. And I hope he does learn for the better on this. Number two, 30 for 30, Mike of the Mad Dog documentary, which is going to drop on Thursday on ESPN.
Just going to drop.
We discussed this a year ago.
Right.
More than a year ago, because I think I recorded that last April.
I think we also recorded a PGP you talking about right when you got out of the interviews, which they were doing mere 10 feet from where we're sitting right now. So, yeah, I think it was last April. Because I remember being surprised it was going to take that long for it to come out.
Yeah. So I saw the premiere at the Tribeca Film Festival a couple of weeks ago, and I...
A couple weeks ago?
Yeah,
that was like March 2.
Was it March?
I'm pretty sure it was March. I think that was during the World Baseball Classic, if I remember.
Mm. So it was a long time ago, and I do make the film, but only for a brief second. I'm in it for like 15 seconds or so, which I'm just happy I was in there. As we talked about...
I could see you pausing the DVR right now to take that picture and put it on Instagram. It's coming, isn't it?
No question. There's no question.
Can I pre-like it? I mean, could we...
My girlfriend said, do you want to have a watch party? I'm like, no, I think that's too much. I'm in it for 15 seconds or whatever. So we're not going to do that. But the thing is, they use all of my high school footage. When you watch this film, think about this. Mike and the Mad Dog began in 1988, I want to say, 1989, something like that.
That sounds right.
Because The Fan launched in 87.
They weren't the
first show on The Fan.
Pete Franklin was the first afternoon show, I believe. So I want to say 89.
So let's say it's 89.
Okay.
From 1989 until they got simulcast on Yes, when did Yes begin? 2009?
No, well before 2009.
Oh, 2005?
Yeah, I would say it was right around the Jason Giambi song. I'm going to say 2003, 2004.
2003, 2004. Okay, so let's say that they started being simulcast in 2003.
Okay.
That is 14 years that they were on the air without a television. Without
right.
a television simulcast, which means there's 14 years missing of them talking to one another that you would use in a film. There's all the audio of it. There's no video of it. So when 1997 rolls around and I'm in high school and we bring our video cameras inside the studio to tape them doing a show, Thankfully, the producers of the 30 for 30 reached out to me and said, hey, we saw some of your stuff on YouTube that you've done. Do you still have that footage? I said, yeah. They go, please protect it with your life. Can we get a copy of it? I said, sure, that'd be great. And they used a bulk of the shots. When you see them in studio during the 90s, anytime during the 90s, it's almost always going to be footage of our shot. So, like, the whole time I'm watching it, my girlfriend came to the premiere with me. I'm only on screen for, 10 seconds, 15 seconds. But then every shot, I'm like, that's my shot. I grabbed her wrist. I'm like, that's our shot. That's my shot. That's my shot. So my shots are really throughout the whole thing, but nobody will know that.
Yeah, see, okay. I think that's, first of all, I think that might be cooler than being in it. It's just, you know, you're on TV anyway. You do NFL Network stuff. And I get that this kind of lives on forever. But knowing that those are your shots and you knowing that and people close to you knowing that, I think is cool enough for me.
Mm.
But the question is, at the end, you are in it. Are you credit? Because those 30 for 30s, they credit, you know, all that stuff. Are you credited at the end, video courtesy of?
Yeah, I'm credited. I don't know if the guys that I was with that because I filmed some of it, they filmed some of it.
Ooh.
I don't think they're in it. And that might be on me.
Tension up in Warwick? Apple-picking season going to get awkward?
Yeah, I don't know. I thought that they would reach out to me to see, like, who officially was on it, or I would have emailed them, I think, about all the names, but I don't know if they used them. I have to double-check again. I didn't see all the script credits. But,
that could be a big boat. You know, DA, big radio star, forgets where he came from, uses our footage. We don't get credit in the documentary.
But I put together a kind of best of that footage in the documentary.
That you put the work into that you gave them.
That I put on YouTube, and the first slate is all of our names.
Okay.
So I have personally, you know, given them the promotion.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah. YouTube, big 30 for 30 on ESPN. I'm sure that's the weighs the same for them. That'll even out.
So today we also talked, speaking of the Fan, about Chris Christie filling in on the Fan.
Right.
Because she's now doing a couple fill in shifts now that they're looking for Frances's replacement. I was in there last week. He's in there this week. I just think he comes off so grating, so obnoxious. And I get that that can work in the radio world.
Yeah.
But I said, I think our bosses are making a bad decision putting him in there.
I was kind of stunned when you said that. Not that you feel that way, that you really, because just last week you were in that same seat filling in. So many ways, I personally disagreed with you, but I'm proud of you for doing that. That's how you feel. Man up, put the balls on the table, and let's do it.
Well, I just think, yeah, I don't like their decision to basically what I think is compromising what is one of the most historic time slots in the country. They're doing it. I mean, I can't imagine Chris Christie as a governor is going to be a long-term solution for them in the afternoons. I just can't imagine that.
But what if he's good? What if he's good? What if he can literally talk nuts and bolts sports and be entertaining every day?
Well, I don't think he can.
Okay.
And I've heard enough to make me think he's not going to get good enough one day.
See, I think he can. I really do. When I turn on the radio and I hear Chris Christie filling in the Fan, like, he does a pretty good job. I think he's far more knowledgeable than I would have given him credit for, which probably says something about his governorship.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, that's
that he has
not
that much time
thing.
To pay attention to the Yankees bullpen and, you know, bring up Jonathan Holder and have actual factual points. Probably says his priorities are all out of whack. But
yeah.
I think naturally, first of all, because he's a political figure, he could speak anyway and swindle. Anyway, I think that comes across, and I think he's pretty entertaining on the radio. I really do.
Yeah, I don't. I just don't like his whole tact. And I didn't like his tact with Mike and Montclair, just like calling him a name and then cutting him off. As I said on the air today, when you know this now, having worked with me long enough,
right.
If somebody's going to come at me and really fire away, I am going to give them more leash than somebody that I agree with.
For sure. It's one of the things I love the most about the show, especially when we were on the overnights. And we would get some real messed up calls who would make no point to you and then really try to attack you. I mean, and we even played up feuds that you had with the one guy who said LeBron was going to return to Cleveland, if you remember that.
Yeah,
he ended up having his own liner. So we go above and beyond
that. The guy
that
said you're choking on your show right now in Toronto.
And Christie cut them off. See, I look at it as, if you're Christie, and we all know Mike Frances is leaving, you probably had this show lined up, I would assume, before this incident on the beach that just took place, where there's a shutdown, a budget shutdown and everything. You're going to have to field a couple questions, but at some point you're going to have to get to make this a sports talk radio show, because if we do back-to-back days of 8 hours of your fat ass on the beach and callers angry at you because he's not well-liked by a lot of people, then he doesn't have a fair shake, in my mind, to try out for the spot he's looking for, his next job, if he is looking for it.
I could see that. I mean, the background on this is that clip with him fighting with a caller on WFAN went viral. It got picked up everywhere.
Right. And we discussed it on Tuesday's show in Soundcheck.
Yeah, so we played that audio. And the background is that Christie has some of the lowest approval ratings historically ever in that state. He's got like 14% approval rating.
With good reason.
But yeah, because he's just been embroiled in a ton of scandals and just a ton of controversy. And then last week for the 4th of July, there was a budget impasse in the state, and that meant that no state services could go on during 4th of July, which shut down all public beaches. It was like, I think 25 or 40 public beaches in the state of New Jersey.
Right.
And he has a beach that he has access to from the governor's mansion or one of his residences.
One of the governor's residences happens to be along the strip of these public beaches. So in that private residence, he can walk right out into the ocean and be on this strip of beach that no person living in Jersey can because of a government shutdown that he's part of.
Right. So he's part of a budgetary impasse. Everything is shut down. Nobody can go to the beach on the 4th of July. Everybody's irate about this. It's hot. It's sweaty. People just want to go to the beach. It's one of the reasons they live in New Jersey, high taxes, all that. And then it's shut down, but he's on it, and he's photographed on it. And when he's asked about it afterwards, he says, well, if you want to be on the beach, be the governor. So that got a lot of people very upset.
And lied the first time when people knew that these pictures out, and he didn't know the pictures were out yet, and said, oh, I wasn't getting any sun. And then when the pictures come out, he's wearing a hat. His excuse is, well, I was wearing a hat.
Right.
I mean, just the dumbest lies known to man.
So I just think that's his tact in sports radio, too. And it's like,
but, see,
I'm right, you're wrong.
But I think it's sports radio.
That works.
That works because Francesa made a living of I'm right, you're wrong.
Fair.
And New Yorkers have listened to that.
That's true.
The main problem I have with Christie is I think I'm a rare breed in the listener in that I don't think many, and we live in a very, the tri-state area itself, I shouldn't say we, is very, you know, liberal oriented. It's a blue state. So with him being, or blue states, a lot of listeners there, I don't think they could separate him in his conservative ways, and on top of just being a being a really crappy governor with a lot of, you know, everyday Joe scandal, screwing people over on the beach, and he had another problem with a bridge where he's screwing people over in traffic, I think that will sour in a lot of people's minds, and they won't care what he has to say about the Yankees and Aaron Judge and be entertaining that way, where I feel like I could separate it, a lot of people can't, and I think that's where it backfires.
Maybe so.
Because if you listen to Christie, and you're just going to remember all the, you know, he jerked you around. If you sat in traffic because you had a bridge shut down that he was a part of, or supposedly, or you couldn't get to the beach that weekend, do you really want to hear what he has to say about an Eli Manning interception on a Monday?
I think that's fair, but also I think that he comes off as such an obnoxious jerk about his governorship.
Yes.
That even if you disagreed with his politics, if he was a guy that was more like, hey, I want to listen to both sides, you just like a more...
He is the ultimate, I'm right, you're wrong.
Yeah, if... Even
or he doesn't care that he's a crappy governor.
That's right. That's another part. It doesn't care that he's screwing over people, like with transit delays and the GW bridge scandal, and he just hasn't cared that
exactly. He hasn't shown any empathy. Oh, I might have got this one wrong. Any or not even admitting that you're wrong. He hasn't shown any resolutions to anything either, where that annoys people and really ticks them off.
But he's also done it in sports because he's a Cowboys fan and he's ripped Giants and Eagles fans, which is his entire. His entire state. He has trashed Eagles fans. And he's danced around to the Cowboys' luxury suite.
Which has made me sick before, but in many ways, what I'm looking for in sports talk radio and be entertained, I almost admire it. I almost admire him not giving a bleep. I almost admire him taking down the hands that feed him, and maybe he will be entertaining on the radio.
Maybe. So he's just the ultimate villain.
Yeah, and I think villains work. Now, how long they work or... If they work, or I mean, who knows if he'll even get this job, but when I'm listening to him fill in, I kind of like that villain part of it.
Hmm.
You don't have to like a guy to listen to him. I mean, how many people hate Francesa, but he gets ratings in New York every day?
Yeah, no, that's true.
I'm sure there are people that hate me and you.
No
that
question about it.
Still tune in.
But maybe you're right. No, you are right about a lot of that. I just think,
Well, can we save that right there?
I find it obnoxious because I want my sports talk host to concede a little bit of ground. Even if it's hard and it's rare, every so often you got to concede a little bit.
Well, because nobody's 100% right on everything.
Correct. Or you got to be able to laugh at yourself when you're wrong. And that's where I think Christie, with yesterday's Mike and Montclair dust up, was like, I'm right, you're the bum, I'm cutting you off. And I don't want to hear that.
I agree with that, and I think if that was his long, if he was a permanent sports talk host and that was always his tactic with Coles, it would rub me the wrong way. Mm-hmm. I didn't think that was his tactic because, as I said, okay, I think he's trying to get the sports talk. That would tick me off if that was his permanent stance. My biggest issue with him, and I hate to make a big mockery of this and laugh, you brought up a good point. If you're going to be the fat guy in entertainment, which he will be,
okay,
you got to learn to accept that you're the fat guy in entertainment and laugh that you're the fat guy in entertainment. I think, I mean, I'm not nearly as big as any of these guys. I think I do that. You embrace who you are.
Yeah.
I think I'm wearing a shirt. Andy Gresh does that.
Uh-huh.
I think Ken Carmen in Cleveland does that.
Yeah.
If you're at, Kevin James is a guy that does that, and I shouldn't even be putting myself in the same breath as that. Chris Christie has to accept that that's who he will be. And when people call him a fat ass and bring your fat ass to the beach, you can't let them know that that bothers you and fight back with names. Like, you have to accept, like, you are a fat ass, Chris Christie, and laugh about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. I think that's all interesting points. So we'll see if I get a reprimand from the bosses. I don't think that I will.
No.
I think that
I don't think so either. If anything, you're giving more fuel to this story and more pub to the station, right?
Maybe.
Or the company. Maybe.
Yeah, we'll see. My final point is I can't believe Bilotti went after Bogish today in Trash Tuesday.
Bilotti's been marinating on a lot of things back there, and he has had it with Wimbledon in general. Just, I mean, well, Bogish on certain things annoys him. Pete is very much by the book, and what he was talking about on Trash Tuesday with not being able to play a liner, all those, if
he trashed Bogish, but he said all of our sports anchors wait until the end of the update to get all the Wimbledon scores in, and then I missed the liner.
Liner. So basically, we get emails almost every day or weekly about new quote-unquote liners that we need to play to pub other programming or anything else.
Yeah.
And the bosses care about them. They want them played. They're made for a reason. Pete finds it, because our updates are a little shorter during our show, harder to get those liners in. And he has now gotten to the point where he thinks in this dead time of sports, the anchors are wasting their time with Wimbledon in general. Okay. He says, how many people really care about Wimbledon, care about tennis? I kind of side with him. This isn't 1993 anymore. And because of this, it's one thing to mention a couple of the big players. Guys like Andrew Bogusch are not giving like the full scoreboard of quarterfinals in Wimbledon. They're Russian names. Like he said, the Russian names, they're Russian. He can't get through them, doesn't know how to say them. And it's costing Pete to be able to do his job. And Pete thinks that guys like Bogusch, I'm just going to say it, I'm speak out of turn for him, are pretty lazy and not digging up other stories and wasting their time with Wimbledon, now costing Pete time.
How could it be lazy if you are trying to work your way through the pronunciations of like Swedish and Russian?
No, no. I don't think that part is lazy. I think he thinks it's lazy just to go, okay, Wimbledon's here, give a bunch of scores. I think he thinks they don't even belong in the updates to begin with, and you should be looking for other stories.
I like that you said in 1993 is the peak of tennis craze.
Well, you know, that's when we all the male American tennis stars. Well, I didn't think you would agree. I mean, when's the last time we did a big tennis story other than the people having sex outside the tennis court that day? Don't do it anymore.
I mean, Serena McEnroe. That was it.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it just doesn't register anymore. And I think Pete feels like it has no place in our updates.
Just the big ones, just the big scores, just the big...
Yeah, I mean, we need Nadal Federer for a 17th time updated in the update. Get it.
Well, Nadal Federer, I think, deserves to be in the update. It's all, as you said, the quarterfinals of people that nobody's ever heard of.
Right. Okay. Fair enough. But he has had it. He's on edge, and he just thinks Bogus is being, quite frankly, a little lazy.
But he didn't say Bogus. He said our update anchors.
Well,
and Bogus is like, do you mean me?
It's definitely... He definitely meant Pete, but I would say this. He definitely meant a couple other people that he's scared of mentioning on air, because of reprimanding stuff from the bosses, because he thinks other people wouldn't be able to take it in stride as Bogusch. And I'm not certainly about to drop any of those names here.
Have we heard from anybody on the overnights with Amy Lawrence after we discussed them naming that Amy named her car Princess
Leia? Yes, forgot to tell you this. Apparently, Amy, a year ago, did a bit when she bought a lawnmower, Name My Lawnmower.
Whoa.
I heard this from an inner circle, so this is an ongoing thing with her. She loves naming any inanimate objects, which, by the way, hurts her cause for naming her car, because we discussed the whole car thing. If she's naming anything she buys...
If a lawnmower gets named...
And apparently I heard it was around the same time last year, so she's out of ideas when the sports calendar goes dead. Hey, I bought a carton of eggs, guys. You want to name this? We're naming lawnmowers?
We're naming a lawnmower. So at least a ride-on lawnmower, I hope.
You think Amy's got a ride-on lawnmower?
I don't know, but naming a push lawnmower?
I think Amy's naming a push lawnmower,
At least a ride-on lawnmower is kind of like half a car.
I should circle back. The person that gave me that nugget, I got to ask, is it a ride-on or a pushing?
Do they know?
No, it's not kind of like a car. Just because it's a steering wheel doesn't make it kind of like a car.
Do they know that we did our segment? Have we had any fallout?
I don't believe she's aware.
Okay.
Her behind-the-scenes people are aware, and I think they were afraid to bring it to her. Because they didn't want to start anything, and they don't want to deal with anything.
If you don't want to, what is it? If you don't want to start nothing, no. If you don't want to end nothing, don't start nothing.
Don't be. Yeah. Is that a DMX song?
If you don't want nothing, don't start nothing.
I think that's a DMX song.
Could be.
I got to go look that up.
Could be. All right, that's Side A, Side B with Abadi Bilotti right now.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right, welcome into Side B of the Permission Granted podcast. This is Miraz, host of Side B and the executive producer of the DA show on CBS Sports Radio. I am joined by the man, the myth, the body, Pete the Body Bilotti. Pete, what's going on?
Oh, not much. This is like a real wacky week, I feel.
Very, very wacky week, especially on the show, as we have reached peak nonsense. I think the DA show, maybe more so than most shows in America on a national level, know how to turn up the nonsense, and we push the nonsense envelope even when sports seasons are strong and maybe sometimes too much. But right now we've hit All-Star Week here, MLB All-Star Week, and there is nothing going on. And we are coming off Wednesday's show as we take this, removed from having an electric car driver in studio who was awesome. I thought he was very funny. And doing, 20 minutes on Italian football league teams.
And Billy Ray Cyrus filling in for Rome.
Right. And Jim Rome just followed, because Jim Rome will take off now during the summer on these weeks. And I apologize, but Billy Ray Smith is his name?
I think that's his name.
Yeah. Filling in for Jim Rome on CBS Sports Radio following the DA show, which you're going to hear 9 to noon Eastern on CBS Sports Radio. Billy Ray Smith has fallen in, and all we keep thinking is it's Billy Ray Cyrus. At first, we really thought it was Billy Ray Cyrus, and we were mixed up, and we're playing Achy Breaky Heart now out in the control room.
Every time we mention it, we play the one verse in Achy Breaky Heart.
Don't break my heart, my achy breaky heart.
Oh, that was a 10 out of 10 right there.
So that wasn't bad, right?
It wasn't bad.
So we've hit just nonsensical stuff. So let's just get caught up on some behind-the-scenes stuff, some house cleaning, as we will, here on Side B of the PGP, if you're a loyal listener to the DA show. Number one, I think the GOAT of the week, and I don't mean greatest of all time, I mean just total buffoon of the week, goes to this character from, what is it, Elmira, New York, Dan, who called in early in the week and did his horrible John Sterling.
Ugh.
Now, for those of you who listened, I don't even remember, was this Monday or Tuesday?
This was Tuesday on the program.
It's Tuesday's show. Dan calls in and calls me behind the scenes. Now, he got on, I would say, a month ago, maybe a little more, when DA was doing his John Sterling, and he said he was a new listener to the show, and he loved DA's John Sterling, and he had a Sterling, too. And he and DA went back and forth doing their Sterling. And it was funny because DA was playing off of it and going back and forth. But he must have hung up the phone that day, Pete, and thought he had the best John Sterling impersonation in the world, when in reality, it's terrible.
Oh, that was a definite hang-up-the-phone run around the room with no clothes on and think, hey, I did something great. Meanwhile, you stunk.
Right.
You stunk up the joint.
So he thought he was great a month and a half ago. So he has called periodically. He has called and not gotten on the air, but he'll talk to me and go, oh, Sean, this is Dan from, and he does his whole Sterling, which, by the way, sounds like me doing him sounds like him, which is not good. It's not a good John Sterling, no. Who's the Yankees radio announcer. And now he calls on Tuesday's show and wants to get on the air to, I guess, do his Sterling to talk about Judge and the Home Run Derby. And, boy, he got up there, and it was like Carlos Beltran that year in the NLCS with the Mets with the bat on the shoulder. I mean, boy, oh, boy, just taking pitches left and right. Awful. And DA set him up, by the way, if he had a good Sterling to deliver, and he just didn't deliver. I can't recall, Pete, at least in this time slot, and for a long time, a caller that absolutely whiffed on that, thinking they were funny going in.
And you know why he thinks it's funny? Because he's probably one of those guys that lives in a place in a log cabin. Log cabin with a couple of broken windows, always eating a stack of silver dollar pancakes every morning.
Pancakes in a log cabin.
Log cabin syrup.
So he lives in the log cabin and has the log cabin syrup.
Fishes every day on a really disgusting lawn chair. And that's it. And only has a radio sitting on a mantle.
Boy, Pete, really giving a lot of thought to where this guy lives and what the life
what
he has.
That's what I think of with this guy. But no, he probably doesn't have a lot going on.
Okay, so now controversy emerged from that caller slightly. And we love controversy in the DA show. And I'm going to ask you, Pete. Another listener tweeted in, DA, don't make him the epic fail because that's what he's looking for. I don't buy that to you. Do you think he was looking to be the epic fail?
No, I don't think he knew what the hell that was. I think he... When it happened the first time, he it didn't matter to him.
Right.
And I think it's the same thing. I think he legitimately thinks he is John Sterling Jr.
Yeah, like, and I think he thinks that Sterling stinks, like, that definitely, like, and he definitely makes fun of him.
Then why waste your time on him?
But I think he thinks he does an awesome Sterling. Like, when he called in, I think he thought, like, oh, DA's going to love my Sterling. I'm going to make him laugh. But he didn't realize that DA was going to make him, that he was going to make DA laugh because he was terrible at it.
First off, folks, if you're calling into the radio station, two things you
I
don't
love how
do.
You're addressing everybody as folks.
Yeah, two things you don't do. Impersonations that are horrible. And trivia. No one gives a damn about your trivia questions. And no one cares. So don't call in with that stuff. Or fast fact, or try to be clever. Be yourself and call in. Don't. But if yourself includes a bad John Sterling impersonation, maybe take the play off.
Boy, all right, a public service announcement from the body on what people should call and talk about. Well, Pete, since you are so angry, you might as well get into this.
I'm not angry. I'm in a very good mood.
You're in a good mood, but yes. You can tell you're a little agitated. Next week, I'm assuming you're going to be in a bad mood, and what I'm getting at is I will be taking my first full Monday through Friday 5-day vacation since moving to this time slot. My first since December, actually, around Christmas week. Guy's got to use his days off. I'm going on a cruise with my wife to the Bahamas, so I'm excited. And you haven't been a part of this in the past, but when I've taken random tropical vacations, there's always a good story that comes out of it. The most famous one is when I was in Cancun and I almost drowned a dolphin that was giving me a ride, Kiki the dolphin. So maybe something funny will come out of this, but in the process, we have formulated here at CBS Sports Radio a really weird fill-in situation for me where, Pete, you're going to stay doing your double duty of Geo and Jones and the DA show on the Wheels of Steel, but you will also take over some producing duties that I have, and then a part-timer or a guy like Chris Finezzi or Andrew Kaplan, who work on our web stream, will take over the rest of my duties. So almost my producing duties are being split and more is being thrown on your plate, and I can't imagine you're happy about this.
Well, you know. That's how it is.
No. Not how it is. You could tell me. We're on the PGP open.
No, that's how I... Look. It's the sponge. They squeeze the sponge until it's completely undry. Look, I'll step up wherever I have to. That's me. That's how
I am. Are you ready? You know the show like the back of your hand now.
First of all, let's get something really straight here. I've been here in this company for a decade. I'm ready for anything. I trained almost all of you guys. So, you know what? I'm ready. But
you sound like a coach at a press conference firing up the troops.
Yeah, no. It's just, just a little extra work for the week. The thing that I get, like, all worked up about is when you add on layers to it.
Okay, and one of those layers we'll get at, Pete, is next week when I am away and Pete will be producing and taking on those roles and doing my job, DA will be going to his former radio stop, Kansas City, for 2 days. And he'll, instead of taking off, he will be doing the show from Kansas City, which when he does the show from Kansas City, I don't know if you remember, when he did the show from Florida, we had some ISDN trouble.
Oh, that was a great day.
Yeah, and Bogus is doing a segment, and the whole thing, Giannotti had to stay, the whole thing was a mess. So usually these lines are okay, but the show becomes a lot more complicated when DA is by himself without a producer off-site. And then you take away the fact that I'm not here back on site. Do you think you'll be okay in those 2 days?
I'll be fine. We've done plenty of remotes. Fact is, DA should just take some time.
You want him to take the days off?
Just for himself. Like, I look at it for himself.
Hold on, time out. You want him to take it for yourself, or you want him to take off because you don't want to deal with him on an
ISDN? Obviously, it'd be easier.
Okay.
Obviously. But no, I feel you are allotted a certain amount of days.
Okay.
And there's a certain amount of periods of time where you should take them. And I think the summer is the big time. You're not taking a week during the Super Bowl. You're not taking March Madness, the first maybe couple days of March Madness, or any of those weekends.
Right.
Right, if you're working at that time. In national radio, I feel like those are the days you don't touch. College football, like in the season, unless there's something urgent. But like this is something like, hey, it's the summer. It's quiet. Take a couple days.
Take a couple days. Well, I'm going to tell you, Pete, because you haven't worked with DA long enough. DA and I, at least the first year, I tried to match my days off with his days off. And what I learned very early on, it's very difficult because we're different people with different lives. You know, he's got a girlfriend, I have a wife, and you have to sync all of that together. Where I like to maybe take some time in the summer, some time right around Christmas, and then I go on a football trip every year. That's kind of, for the most part, my days off, right? DA will take not the time around Christmas. He'll be here, which, okay, it's football season. I like the reset. He doesn't. But then he'll, because he doesn't take that time, he'll take time like right around March Madness, if not in March Madness. And then that throws me off. That starts in a couple days. The summertime, he does a lot of taking Fridays off and three-day weekends. He capitalized on three-day weekends, which I actually think is pretty smart if you have the days.
That's something that you don't realize how good three-day weekend is.
Right, and he does a lot of that, and those will add up to a vacation by taking maybe 5 3-day weekends over the summer. So instead of taking these 2 days in Kansas City, he'll take like 2 more days in August on a Friday, and then he does an SEC trip every year. But really, like when you look at DA for like a full week's vacation, I don't know that he necessarily takes a full week at a time, but his days are all over the place sometimes, and it's going to drive you batty, I'm telling you right now. So when he does these shows from Kansas City, he's going to do them there. He's going to do the show from
there. It's hard to really match up your schedule with a talent schedule.
Right.
I feel that there's a lot of other circumstances in people's lives that you allot for, a lot of different scenarios where you're, you
of
know,
of course,
living.
Because we're not just pleasing ourselves. If you have a significant other, you got to worry about them and their work schedule as well.
But, you know the obvious things. Don't take off Super Bowl week.
Right.
Don't take off,
So your point being, there's nothing going on in the middle of July. D.A., instead of doing the show from Kansas City and giving you the headache, can you just take the damn days
giving
off?
Giving him the headache. He probably
giving you the headache.
It'll give me a headache because I got to set up an ISD in line. So what? All right, fine. The point is, for himself, you know, like he's going down there for a family thing, I believe.
Yeah.
Spend time with the family. That's my opinion.
Oh, well, there you go. So Pete the Body Bilotti, he won't get into it, but clearly not happy with DA not taking off.
Look, days off. You take your days off. You're allotted them. You're given the time. Take them off. And, you know, you shouldn't have to answer to anybody about what you take off for.
I agree. Well, Pete, good luck next week. Safe sailing. I'll see you on the PGP in 2 weeks.
Oh, of course.
All right. You can follow Pete on Twitter. At CBSPDB, and you can follow me.
At CBSPDB,
and you can follow me at MorazCBS. Take care.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.